This is your opportunity to be sure that you're in compliance with the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have a command in Scripture to be filled with the Spirit, but we need information in order to make that happen at any moment in time. And we do that as believers. When we are in fellowship and we confess our sins, we are suddenly back in fellowship. The next sin you commit knocks you out of fellowship. Does not knock you out of salvation. You can't do anything to mess up your salvation. It is permanent from the day you first believed in Jesus Christ. You have eternal life, and you will always have eternal life. The issue after salvation is to grow up. And the only way you can grow up spiritually is you have to have the right diet, the right information, or you are sickly. So, here's the point. You need doctrine in the soul, divine viewpoint. You need somebody who will communicate to you the plan of God, verse by verse, doctrine by doctrine. If you don't have that, you're out here just lost, making up your own stuff, falling prey to every wind of doctrine, and all that mess. But you get in the right place, and you get the right information, and you can operate before God. It starts after salvation with knowing what to do when you sin. First, you have to recognize that you do sin. I can't imagine anyone who wouldn't do that. They got to be a real screwed up person. Believers continue after salvation to sin. If you are ever afraid of anything, you sinned. On and on it goes. And who doesn't? Every day we fail. So this is your opportunity to get in fellowship and pay attention to the particular study at hand. So here we are. It's going to get hot this week. Real hot. So I just wanted to let you know that. Not that you needed me to know it's going to break the 100 barrier this week. We'll survive that too. All right, we noted here in our doctrine of biblical cosmology that God existed eternally before the creation of the physical realm. And we gave you particulars in that regard, and that space, extends forever, and God exists eternally as a spirit. There isn't anywhere. He isn't confined to one locale. Okay? So, point two, Roman numeral two, the angelic hosts were the first thing that God the Son created. Job 38:4-7. Now, there's in the book of Job, I kind of sympathize with him, and I haven't gone through anything quite to the degree he did. But Job got a little uppity with God about how and why he does things like he does. Here, and we would say, the poor guy. he didn't commit a series of sins to get himself in that mess. This was a test. Eventually he gets a passing grade. Did he do perfect at every point in it? No, that's encouraging, right? It's supposed to be. He didn't do everything right at every point. You've lost all this. You're sitting out there with that skin disorder. And you have all these friends saying, fess up. Huh. They're good friends. They weren't bad friends. They just acted bad. They presumed that the man had sinned, brought things. I mean, I would think that'd be the first reaction. All this happening to someone, oh man, what'd you do? That's a natural reaction. But until you have hard evidence, the smoking gun, as they say, you don't jump there. Maybe, just maybe, the believer is put under special testing, in this case, health, as well as the other, but health, lost all his kids. How would you like that? And they were all grown up. All 10 of them dead. Lost all of his business thing went down. He had a wife and he had a property in town. And his health was gone. But he was lucid. It didn't mess his mind up. He could think. And his friends are all telling him that, you know, in a series of speeches, well put together speeches, trying to get him to be forthcoming. And we're not the kind of friends who are going to say, oh, how could you? That's to be spiritually naive. How could you? Have you studied the doctrine of the STA? And once you study that, you'll figure out a believer is capable of about any sin you can name. and they've done it. And look at all the examples in the Bible, and good believers, not just dummies. But Job got maladjusted to the divine aspect. He had to repent at the end of the deal. God healed him just like that. He didn't go into rehab. He didn't have to go through some deal. He got it as quick. He lost it as quick as he got it. His malady that Satan put on him. What'd Satan do? Find some toxic organism out there and throw it on him? What can angels do? I'm so easily get off subject. All right. Job, being a little Mr. Know-it-all, going to call God on the carpet. You know, I think if people have an opportunity, they'd even try to call God on the carpet. In this case, he's perfection. He said, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Smarty pants. I added that. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Sometimes people say, I've got credentials. And where were you? Like I want to say to some people, where were you when I was using biblical hermeneutics from my youth to now? Where were you? And you're going to tell me how to interpret a verse? Yes, a person in this church could point out something I don't know. I'm fully aware of that. A kid could do it, perhaps. But the fact is, you don't know how to do exegesis. You've observed me up here. I took a course in biblical hermeneutics. Verse by verse, analysis, original languages, historical background, and categorization of the different topics in the Bible. And I took that course and I never found one thing in there about phenomenological. Isn't in any of the books. It's trash. That we have one example in the Bible where it isn't true what it says. So you have to use this. Can't use the language I want to. This term. You got to use it. And I know where the term came. I ran it down. It's a position paper of the Catholic Church when they flipped over from the flat earth to the Copernican thing. They want to make it look like we're still respecting the Bible. And they coined this term. It's not a term people use. It was just invented for this. So they could overthrow the Joshua passage. And have what they want and go on down their road. And I never have used any. I will never use anything like that again. That was my bad. The angels were the very first thing that God the Son created. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Well, you weren't there, were you? Nobody was there but the angels. Who set its measurements? Which will come up with another passage that man doesn't know. He doesn't have those measurements. He'd have to have access to the whole thing from the outside to outside. He doesn't have up and down. That's hidden from men. They don't know those measurements. They measure a lot of things. Books are filled with stuff they measure. And if they could, they'd measure it. But they can't measure it. Maybe they'd guesstimate it. I don't know. But they can't measure it. And it hasn't changed since Job, the day of Job. Job was a really smart fellow. Since you know. That's another way of saying, okay, know it all. If you're going to call me on the carpet as God and question me, then you better have some credentials that match mine. And you don't. You don't have them, Job. And Job was, as I said, he was a smart man. I think we'd be amazed. If we could talk to Job about what he knew, where he lived, and his time in history, we'd be really amazed at the kind of knowledge he has, apart from Bible doctrine. We'd be quite amazed. Since you know, this is biting sarcasm. He doesn't know. Or who stretched the line on it? On what were its pedestals set? You might prefer the word pillars, I don't care. A piece of furniture has pedestals. Holds it up. Think of a coffee table. It may be circular, it may be square, rectangular. Or who laid its cornerstone? When you build a building, like the temple of old, they laid the first stone that went down was the cornerstone. From this, the whole building flowed. The rest of the foundation and the superstructure. But you had to have the foundation. You had to have that stone in the right spot. It had to be cut perfectly. And that's what, for instance, in these temples, they had a cornerstone. Sometimes they would put a statement on it. And of course, in the metaphorical building, Christ is the cornerstone, and all us believers are stones that work off from that. We're clear up here now, so to speak. Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together. Why are they called morning stars? It's a question. I'll leave it at that. But we know it's angels. So they were there, right? Angels were already there, the first thing created. So when God did his handiwork and created the heaven real estate complex above and set the earth beneath it, they got a front row seat. They watched it. They didn't do anything. They didn't participate. He did the work. My guess is he didn't do it just like that. That like when someone builds a building, you drive down the road and you see the foundation. They cleared it all off. They got a foundation. You come by a week or two later and all they got is going up. And sometimes faster than others. But you see a process. A process of building until it's completed. So I think they saw this thing fall together. It was fairly quick. They got all the time in the world. They're angels. They can suspend in space. They don't need anything to support them. They sit there and they involve themselves in singing. That's what they do. I said they didn't do anything towards the project. They're singing. What a musical event that must have been. Can you imagine what that sounded like with billions of angels with perfectly in tune? Singing. That means they have a mentality. And I'm presuming that they're singing about what's going on and that that's the content of the song. They can produce their own music, the instrumental part. They can produce their own music, you know, like in an opera house or something where you have all this section is violins and this is this and all around. They can produce their own music. Satan is like described as something like along the lines of a pipe organ. Very impressive instrument under the right person. They all sang together. And I misspelled that. And all the sons shouted for joy. They did a big hoorah. I would assume that was the exclamation point when it was done. They liked it. They could see something now that wasn't available before. And they celebrated it. And that includes Lucifer before he fell. All the angels were in the right. God doesn't create evil things and set them out here. They become evil, maybe, but that's it. Ezekiel 28:15. Now we know Jesus Christ created things invisible. That would include the angelic realm. Things we can't see unless they reveal themselves to us. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. Same verb as in Genesis 1:1. From the day you were created. Satan, Lucifer, before he got these other titles that reflect his fallen nature. Lucifer owed his existence to God. Then he gets to see God create out of nothing, so they know that their origin was the same as what their the physical realm that they witnessed coming into existence. Therefore, they become, as free moral agents, culpable. They're culpable. And in their case, they better not step out of line. One sin, bam, and the ultimate destiny is the lake of fire. And Satan was the first sinner, committed the first sin, we know that. More on that coming up. Three. The creation of the throne room. We'll call it the third heaven because that's what the Bible calls it. The creation of the throne room and the earth immediately below came into existence next. We got to get all this stuff in place. So he's going to create the earth. But he's going to create... He's going to put it as two realms that are connected. They're not separated from each other any more than a footstool is separated from the chair in which the person resides to be useful. And usually thrones were raised up, so the king had to have this raised up footstool or his feet would be dangling. That wouldn't look good. Nor would it be comfortable necessarily. You can Google footstools, by the way. Look at all shapes and kinds of them. But I'm not there quite there yet. And of course, that's the first verse in your Bible, the lead verse, in your face, in. And you'll notice I didn't put the definite article in because it's not in the Hebrew. In a beginning, suggesting that there's other beginnings. There's a beginning that has no beginning, but what else can we call it? And that's John 1:1. That's eternity past. That's the ultimate beginning, which isn't really a beginning in the typical sense of the word. Like the beginning of your life, the day you were born, beginning. In a beginning, God created the cal perfect of the verb B-A-R-A, bara. This is ex nihilo creation. It is an interesting word. It's a very important verb used in the Old Testament. There's a counterpart Greek word for the New Testament dealing with creation, both the noun and the verb. Bara. He created them. Now, we have enough background to know that any of this nonsense that modern science puts out about origins is fake, false. And wrong. All men can do is study the product. But when they get to guessing about how it got here, they're way off base. It's just whatever you want to make up. Pagans had their own ideas where things came from. They attribute it to God, generally speaking. They had all these subcategories of deities that did this, and there's the deity of this realm, and all this mess. Because they got away from God. They did not want God in their thinking. Because they're negative. And so they are just led down the path. And so is modern man. Because they do not want God in their thinking. That's the bottom line. And if you don't want God in your thinking, then you are on your own. And you will buy into whatever you think is the way it is. And you can sound off on it and sound intelligent. You're just as wrong as you can be. All this out here, and I'm amazed myself. I'm amazed every day because I have, through doctrine and the soul and observation of the things above and beneath and around and all the rest, I have great capacity for what God's done, and I know when He put it here too. That's the, you know, if I'm looking at the natural realm, I know when He put it here, and it isn't any like anything I ever read and was exposed to in all of my education. I know when He did it. He did it in the first week of human history. First 6 days, actually. That's when He put it here. Is there anything impossible with God? No. Can he take an earth that is denuded of all plant life and suddenly put all full-blown plants right on it, as if they'd been there for however long? A tree that would have taken, you know, decades and decades to get to that height and size from a little thing. Can he do that? Yeah. I hope we have a reenactment in a millennium, some kind of a program, you know, that reflects exactly what he did on that day. Come back for the next installment. So all these plants, everything people maybe take for granted, he put all this here. Even the stuff you don't like. Spiders. How do they crank that stuff out of their bodies? And shoot that clear across there. And the stuff's strong, too. It's not flimsy. Did you ever get your head wrapped in a bunch of it? You'd think you could just tear it off real quick. No, they're trying to capture their food. That's what God made them. So you look on and see this, all this, and you marvel at it because you're glorifying God. Because you're saying, the Creator did that. He put that here. Even if it's disgusting, scary, cute. He did it. And that is the point that needs to be made. He is the Creator. So at this juncture, a physical throne was established. And on that throne, God the Father appeared in a finite form. That wasn't eternal. See, that was a little fuzzy in my thinking prior to this all coming, and I had to deal with all this. It was a little bit fuzzy in my thinking. And now I'm still mystified. It's easier for me to contemplate the God-man. There's a real human resurrected body sitting up there. You look at it, yes, it's in great light and glory and everything, but it's a human. But what's this figure made up of? He didn't descend from humans or anything else. What is this figure made up of? What's its biology, if you will, or whatever you want to call it? I don't know, and I don't have to know, other than it's there. And since God cannot reduce himself to one point, he can't squeeze himself down to one point, you have both the Father and the Son, also their deity. Heaven can't contain them. But yet you have a figure there that we all recognize as as a representation of God the Father sitting on a throne that he established. That too the angels witnessed. They're introduced to a new form of kingship, rule. And this was all very attractive to the eye. Angels know what things are attractive or unattractive. Who do you think the ones that came down here for? Picked out the ugly women on the earth? They picked out the beauty queens, the dummies, the airheads. At this juncture, a physical throne was established, and on that throne, God the Father appeared in a finite form. Psalms 11, 4a, the Lord is in his holy temple. It's also called a temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. That's our third heaven. At the top. 47:8. God reigns over the nations. God sits in his holy throne. And I add, it's not millions of light years from down here. We don't have a figure lost out there in Never Never Land. It's right there. He is over the nations, both in this form, and that's why we'll have all these verbs come in. Sits, talks, speaks, sit at my right hand. One person talking to another. Laughs, walks. The figure just doesn't say, sit there thousands of years and is motionless. Like you know, some plastic thing just has eyes, has all the features. Yeah, that's a part of the mystery of heaven proper, a realm that the best I can do to describe to you. Now, you can go to the book of Revelation and get some more insights, things around the throne. But that scenery can change up there according to the circumstances at hand. He has audiences that come before him. Kings do. Even the fallen angels. He's got angels coming and going that are on assignment. It's a busy place. And now he's got all those believers up there with their own place they can go to. I would say at the end of the day, but it's not like that. They got a place they can go, hang out. God reigns over the nation, sits on his holy throne. That isn't referring to the deity of the Father that is omnipresent. It's talking about this figure of the Father that suddenly appeared apart from human generation or any type of generation other than it was created. Oh, that's I don't know about you. I think, whoa. I get the God-man thing. I mean, I don't get all the detail. I mean, it's but I get that one. I know where his humanity came from and what stage it went through from mortal to immortal. I get that. I don't understand how the hypostatic union works, other than he can now tap into his deity, and I don't know how all that works. How do you keep up with everything? I don't have to worry about that. It's not my concern. But this figure over here I am mystified. I accept it by faith fully, but I know when it originated. It originated when you created the throne room. He wasn't floating out here somewhere. God reigns. Okay. Your throne is established of old. You are from everlasting. Psalm 93:2. Everlasting is way before of old. 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. And his sovereignty rules over all. Very encouraging. He's got this thing under control. But we're being tested, aren't we? We're being tested big time with this mess that's in the world today. We really are. It is a monster patience test to wait out this rapture event. I feel it every day. I truly do. Get us out of here. Maranatha is in my breath all the time. But I know he set it up for a specific moment in time, and that cannot be changed. You and I can move things up and back according to our, but he's not, as far as I know, he can't do that. He set it in stone. It's a special date. Hebrews 8:1. Now the main point in what has been said, we have a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of, the throne of his grace in the heavens. I think I left a word out. Anyway, so if you're sitting at the right hand of somebody, that's the hand of preeminence, by the way. The right is always the preeminent side. It's just so seated. He took his seat at the right hand. So if a figure's seated, this is my right hand over here. So if someone sits at my right hand, they sit right there, not over here. So that's the visual you get if you're looking at it. That's the side of preeminence. Christ is exalted to the right hand of the Father as a part of the reward for his obedience unto death in time and what he went through as the Father's agent of salvation. A human being is taken and rewarded. Yes, his deity inherits all things, but now he, as a human, inherits all things. They're at his disposal. Now, and other verses dealing with the right hand. Now here's one I'm going to come back to, and I'm going to come back to it, and I'm going to key it in with the Tower of Babel. What's going on there? What are these crazies doing? They weren't crazy in the usual sense. You know what I mean? Like insane. These were rebels, led by people like Nimrod. And they weren't, they knew that they're trying to overthrow God. They had that same spirit mentality of rebellion. Oh my gosh, people, it is evident in certain literature and certain places in history. Thor's hammer. This is a macho man rebel. So this theme is out there. Fighting God. Literally. Not just rejecting Him. And so Satan, when he is cast down for his first fall, nice first fall, his fourth fall, he falls five times. First fall, you're fired. And God just ejected him out of the throne room. I don't know where he went, but he ejected him. Like somebody being thrown out of a place and violently just boom. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When did you see that? His humanity didn't see that. His humanity had never seen the throne room until he got ascended. That was the first time he laid eyes on the place. It's one thing for your humanity to know something, that your deity... So, anyway, he was ejected. His first fall was he sinned. Because he's just so darn handsome. He just keeps looking in the mirror one time too many. And everyone's telling him how good looking he is. And the fact is, he is. He didn't stop and say, I owe my looks to God. He made me look this good. See, there's a difference in pride. When you attribute something to God, yeah, God did this for me. That's boasting in God, and it's something people may admire and look at you, oh, yeah. No, God did this for me. You know, someone that's dealt a really nice genetic hand of cards, and I mean they are good looking. They got the genetics. Bible recognizes that. They ought to be humbled by that. They didn't have anything to do with it. They didn't put it all together in the womb. His first fall was he sinned. His second fall was he got fired. One followed the other like boom, boom. Ones and two came right together. And then we work our way all the way through history before we get to his third fall, and that is that he no longer has access to the heavenly realm, and I don't even think perhaps the realm, I don't know, the realm where the stars are. He don't have a realm, has no, him and their angels are defeated, and Satan is forced and confined to the earth through the second half of the tribulation, the third fall of Satan. And the fourth fall is he spends the 1,000 years in hell with the rest of his angels. He's bumped off the earth. An angel binds him. How ironic. He's supposed to be the super angel. God empowers an angel to take him to jail. That's four. And five, of course, is after the Gog and Magog event. He's thrown into the lake of fire forever. This corresponds to the five I wills of Satan and his manifesto to overthrow God. Call it communist manifesto. Call it whatever kind of manifesto you want it. It's a manifesto. It's a manifesto of rebellion. These manifestos that have been put out by these tyrants. And so when he goes to hell under the fourth fall, he gets chided by the humans he had already deceived. So they must not be in such pain they can't talk. And what do they know? All things intrigue me. It intrigues me. Oh, it's you. And you read the five I wills of Satan I will, I will, I will. And all of them are reversed, and he's done in. He knows this every day of his life. But because he's insane, he keeps pushing this thing. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. That's the throne room, people. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I'll rule over the angels. And I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. What is that? My suggestion is that it refers to the fact that goes straight up from the Arctic Circle, north, straight up, and you'll hit the throne of God. He knows how to lay out everything. I'll see you Tuesday night. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. We'll have a deacon's meeting afterwards.